Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We're picking up in our series on the Christian family this summer. This is a short series in between books. And children, if you're wanting to send your kids down to Children's Church, you can go ahead and dismiss them now. We'll be looking at chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Kids, think for a moment in your head. If I were to ask you what your one job is in your family, what would you say? Okay? Is it cleaning your room, you know, taking out the trash? Right, what is the one job before God that you have in your family? Parents, this is important for you to know as well, right? Because we have to teach and train up our children. And so do we know what our children's primary job is within the family, the primary thing that the Lord has commanded them to do? Well, kids, your primary job in your family is to obey your parents. That is your primary task. And we've been looking at the Apostle Paul's instructions for the Christian family. He has addressed wives and given them their main task. He's addressed husbands and given them their main task. And now he turns to children. And so just as wives are to submit to their husbands and husbands are to love their wives, so children must obey their parents. And you can think of the Christian family as a solar system. I used the illustration of the presentation of the solar system along my road growing up that the local elementary school would do. But the Christian family is kind of like a solar system where the wife and the husband and the children are all orbiting around one another. And they should be doing that harmoniously. And you don't want planets crashing into one another. So they all need to be following their specific orbits, okay, carrying out their specific commands from God that we've seen in this text. And they are all doing that, following their specific orbit, while they all orbit together around the sun, which is Christ. And so it's really important. This is good. This is going to happen the whole time. So I'm just going to move him. There we go. Stay. So because of that, it's really important that mom, dad, and kids all have this understanding of what God's expectations are within the home so that we can all have this harmonious relationship with one another, reflecting the glory of God in the way that our homes are built. Because as we've discussed, once the gospel takes root in an individual Christian, right, the effects follow. The fruit is born then. And the same is true in a family where a husband and a wife and their children even come to know the Lord, the effects of the gospel will take root. And so this sermon, again, is going to be a little bit different. The illustrations will be a little bit different. My language is going to be a little bit different because mainly I'm trying to hit those from, say, age 5 to age 18. That said, right, there is application for parents because you need to know what you need to be training your children to do, and it should be Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. But also, many of us as adults, we still have parents, and God still calls us to honor them as well. And so follow along with me. I'm going to go ahead and read Ephesians 6. We'll read verses 1 through 4, and then we'll pray and look at verses 1 through 3 together. This is God's word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we ask, God, that now as we look into your word, that you would make it clear to us, particularly our children, Lord. Help us, God, give them grace to see and understand these things. But Lord, all of us, help us to see the goodness of the implications of what is here for our lives as adults and the way we care for and raise up our children, Lord, the way that we honor maybe our older adult parents. I ask that you would work in us through your word this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, from Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, I want you to see three principles about what God wants children to do so that our kids can grow up to enjoy prosperous and long lives to the glory of God. And our first principle from verses 1 through 3 is that children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents. So Paul says right away in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And again, kids, this is your God-given job. It is to obey your parents. The command obey means just what it says. You need to do what your parents tell you to do. If mom and dad ask you to make your bed, clean your room, you need to make your bed and clean your room. If they tell you you can't go hang out with over at your friend's house, then you need to stay home. Okay, you need to be obedient to your parents. And this is hard, can be hard, because we're sinners. Okay, we don't particularly enjoy people telling us what to do. Our hearts are sinful. We don't want to obey God, and much less our parents much of the time. And so we often stray and fail to obey. James 4, verses 1 through 2. James is talking to a church right now, but the same is true for our children, all of us. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. So, you know, think about that. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You know, your brother has a toy. This is our life right now. Your brother has a toy, and all of a sudden, hey, he looks really happy with that toy. I think I would be really happy with that toy. You know, I want that toy. Can I have a turn? No. Give me that toy, you know, and then it's clobber, and the toy is taken. Why? Because you covet, right? You envy, you want that toy in your heart, but you don't have it, and so you fight and you quarrel. That is what's going on in our hearts. James, again, is talking to adults. So adults have the same problems, they're just big adult ones, as opposed to little children problems. But from the time we're little babies, we are sinners at heart. You don't have to teach your child how to sin. They innately know how to. Now, that moment where, you know, the child is getting ready to touch the thing that they're not supposed to, and you say, don't touch that. And they go, you know, and they're waiting, and then they touch it. Basically, what are you going to do about it? You know, that's what's happening. We are born sinners. You know, Isaiah says that we're all like sheep. We've all gone astray. Because if you've ever had a really bad dog, who every time you'd open up the door, that dog would just bolt for it, try and get outside the house. That is the way our sinful hearts are. The door of sin is cracked open, and we want to run through that door. We are like sheep that go astray. But the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents. When mom and dad ask you to do something, or they make a new rule, they tell you not to do something, you need to obey. Even older kids, when your folks make a decision about something you've been talking about for a while, they give you an instruction for while you're away at home or out with your friends, you need to obey. And now, there are some times where children shouldn't obey their parents. But this should not be very often. There are, in some cases, families where a parent can not love the Lord and try to teach their child to sin, try to convince them to do evil and wicked things. And in that instance, you need to obey the Lord and obey what he has written in his word and not obey your parents. But in general, 99% of the time, God's word says you must obey your parents. That is your chief task within your family before God. And so Paul says, he goes on and he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Okay, in the Lord. What does that mean? Well, this is how you're supposed to specifically do this. And first, it means that you should do this as someone who is in Christ. You should obey your parents as someone who is trusting in Jesus. And a very famous verse that many of us know is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So God is perfect, he is holy, he never sins, he has no sin in him, but he is also the judge, and he will rightly punish all sin. And that is a problem because we are sinners, as we've just seen. We have been born in sin, and we have done what God told us not to do in his word, what even we in our own hearts know is wrong. Even our own thoughts and our desires are sinful. And so we deserve to be punished by the holy God for our sin. But God loves the world, and he sent his son into the world to take that punishment so that you wouldn't have to. And so when you turn away from your sin and you cry out to Jesus and you beg him to save you, it's like God took all of the punishment that you deserved and he gave it to Jesus on the cross. And he took all of the righteousness, all of the goodness from Jesus' life that he lived in perfect obedience to God, and he gives it now to you so that you can be forgiven. And then, after he does that and he changes your heart, you can obey your parents in the Lord. And so that is the second part of this, is that after the Lord has saved you, after he's changed your heart, you can obey your parents in the Lord by obeying them the way the Lord tells you to in his word, in the way he instructs us in the scriptures. And so what do the scriptures say about how kids should obey their parents? And there's a lot that we could cover here. We're just going to cover a few things. Much of the book of Proverbs has to do with parents and their children. Proverbs 1, verse 8, Solomon says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. So basically, we need to pay attention and continue to obey our parents, right? But the proverb says, hear, my son, pay attention, listen up. I was listening to a friend's sermon recently, and he's a big hunter. He likes to sit out in the tree stand during bow season. And he said, you know, deer, when they hear a noise, you'll see their ears just turn towards that noise. They may not even turn their heads to look, but their ears turn and immediately lock in like a laser beam to whatever it is they're listening to. Children, that should be the way that you listen to your parents. You should be locked in, paying attention to what they have to tell you. You don't walk away when they're talking to you. You don't interrupt them. You don't look like you're paying attention while in reality you're zoning out off somewhere doing something else. You need to pay attention. But also, forsake not your mother's teaching. Okay? Once they give you some instruction, whether it's this one-time task of, hey, I need you to clean this up, or whether for older kids this is an instruction having to do with how to live life. Okay, where your parents are trying to impart more wisdom to you so that you can live in a godly way, you need to pay attention to those things. You need to not forsake them. In a way, you could say that you need to handcuff yourself to that teaching. Proverbs 3, verse 1, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Proverbs 6, verse 20 through 21, my son, keep your father's commandment, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. Right? If you had this extremely precious, valuable necklace, you'd want to wear it all the time. Okay? You wear it all the time, constantly, binding it around your neck. That is the way that you need to treat mom and dad's instruction. You need to wear it all the time. Proverbs 7, verses 1 through 3. My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And you think about how well we protect our eyes. If someone were to just come up and slowly take their finger and try to poke you in the eye, what would you do? You'd blink and push their hand away? You need to keep your mom and dad's instructions, their commandments, with the same care that you keep your own eye. Keep it as the apple of your eye. So pay attention, continue to obey, treasure up these instructions, but also, in order to obey in the Lord, you need to obey in everything. You need to obey in everything. So Paul writes in Colossians 3, verse 20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. In everything. You know, even if you don't feel like it, you need to obey your parents. Even if you think they're being unfair, you need to obey your parents. Even if you think you're right and they're wrong, even if you can prove that you're right and they're wrong, you need to obey your parents. Obey them in everything, because when you do that, you will please the Lord. That is what Paul says in Colossians 3. And, you know, you should want to please the Lord more than you want getting your own way. That is what the Lord does in our hearts when we turn from our sin and trust in him. He works in us so that our greatest desire is to please him. Now, yes, our sinful desires act up, and we often sin, but we need to, even when it isn't what we want, even when we think we're right, we need to submit ourselves to our parents. And this is what you see Jesus do, even as a child. So when Jesus was 12, we read in Luke 2 that Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When it was over, they start heading home, probably in a large group of people. And Joseph and Mary didn't notice, but Jesus had hung back, okay? He had hung back for an entire day, they had made it, without realizing that he was gone. And so, you know, parents, you know that feeling when you're like putting stuff in the grocery cart and you look down and your toddler is nowhere to be seen. And you're like, all right, he couldn't have gotten far. And you think, I'm just gonna look around the corner here, not down that aisle. You go around the other aisle, not down that one either. And then it's all of a sudden like, worst case scenario in your head, and your gut drops, right? So take that feeling and add the whole city of Jerusalem, you know, and an entire 24 hours, and the Messiah of the world, you know? Like that's, you can just imagine the sort of panic going on. I mean, yes, he's 12, but still, like a whole day, we don't know where the Messiah went. And so Jesus, they make it back. They finally find him in the temple. And you can just imagine Mary with her mom voice, you know, we've been worried sick, you know, where have you been? And she, like the text says, she said, why have you treated us so? So Jesus explains in chapter 2, verse 49, do you not know that I must be in my Father's house? And then Luke writes in 2, verse 50, and they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. Jesus was submissive to his parents. So Jesus explained it, and he was right to be there in the temple, having already at the age of 12 the understanding that he was in his Father's house, since he was the Son of God. Now, he gets it. Mary and Joseph don't get it yet, but he submitted to them anyways. Now, so parent or children, obey your parents in everything. Right? That is the example of your Savior. And so that is how you obey in the Lord. But Paul ends verse 6 and he says, he gives this reason for children to obey their parents. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is right. In other words, this is the right thing to do. Okay, this sort of obedience to your parents is the right thing to do, but why is that the case? Okay, and Paul gives the rationale in verse 2. So our second principle is, children, see the command of God. See the command of God. Paul says at the beginning of verse 2, honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. So remember the story of Exodus, how God delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt through the 10 plagues, and how he parted the Red Sea. His people were able to walk through on dry ground. The Egyptians came after them. The sea crashed down on them. He saved his people. He brings them through the wilderness. He gives them bread from heaven to eat. And then they get to Mount Sinai. And Mount Sinai is basically where God was going to give Israel their constitution as a nation of people who belong to him. We have a constitution in America that frames our country, and they were going to get their constitution, they were going to get their laws for how they were supposed to conduct themselves as a nation of God's people. And when this was happening, no one was allowed to come near and touch the mountain. Otherwise, they had to be stoned to death. Then the people had to be consecrated so that they could approach. And then the Lord descends on the mountain. And he doesn't just like come down, okay? The Lord descended with this amazing show of might and power. So when he descended in fire. Right? And so much so that the entire mountain, the text says, was wrapped in smoke. And then the mountain itself started trembling, okay? In the Psalms, it talks about this. It talks about the mountains skipping like rams. You think about if you saw a deer run through your yard kind of bouncing happily along. That's what the mountain is doing because God is on it now, okay? That's the sort of power. And then there's the sound of a trumpet growing louder and louder. And then the text says that the Lord answered Moses in thunder. Right? The sound of his voice is like this incredible pealing of thunder and lightning going on. And then he gives his people the Ten Commandments. And so now, if the Lord descended on the mountain like that, and there's all this fire and smoke and earth shaking and a thundering voice where he speaks to his people, do you think that his law, the Ten Commandments, are a little deal or a big deal? They are a huge deal. And do you know what the fifth of the Ten Commandments is? Exodus 20, verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. All right, so God, with his voice full of thunder, tells you to honor mom and dad. To honor means to esteem, to show reverence. This goes deeper than just obeying. This is actually talking about the attitude of your heart towards your parents. So it's not enough for you to simply do what your parents say. Right? You have to do it with a heart that seeks to honor them. You have to esteem them with your attitude. This was the example of the Rechabites in Jeremiah 35. How do you obey like the Rechabites did? You have to honor your parents, right? It has to come from within. You have to have a heart that esteems them greatly in order to obey like that, where you, your wife, your children, your whole clan is all understands what the command of our Father is, and this is what we're going to do. And so, children, you need to obey your parents like this. You need to honor your father and your mother. This is the command of God. So let's just take the flashlight of Scripture for a second, and investigate our hearts, okay? Do you honor your parents? Ask yourself, do I honor my mom and my dad? Right? Are you careful to protect the way that you think and feel about them so that you honor them from your heart? Because that is where it all starts. Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Everything else that you do towards your parents flows from your heart. And whether or not you honor them in your attitude or not will determine everything. So do you honor them then in the way that you speak to them? And when there's a disagreement, when you want to do something and they don't think it's a good idea, are you respectful and submissive to their authority? Do you honor them in the way that you speak about them? And when you're with your friends and they're complaining about their parents sharing maybe private, potentially embarrassing things about what's going on at home, are you doing the same thing, one-upping them? Are you being careful to honor your parents, to guard their reputation, caring greatly that people see them as respectable, honorable? Do you honor your parents sincerely or only to their face? You know, do you obey them only when they're in the room and then you disobey when they can't see you? Older kids, when you're at school or hanging out with your friends, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, are you honoring your father and your mother? Or are you regularly engaging in sin and hiding it from them, practicing your evil deeds in the dark so that they're not exposed? So, again, this all goes straight back to your heart, your attitude towards your parents, which God says must be an attitude of honor. And when you do not honor your father and your mother, you have broken the command of the infinite God that he gave with his voice of thunder there on Mount Sinai. You are a lawbreaker, and which is the case with all of us. We've all sinned. We've all broken this particular command also. Right? And so what's needed? If you aren't in Christ, again, you need to see the fact that you have broken his laws. You need to confess that and beg God to forgive you in Christ. If you are a believer, though, you are trusting in the Lord, then you need to confess these things to the Lord, know that he forgives you in Christ, but then go to your folks and confess it to them. Mom, Dad, I've been doing this. You don't know about it. I'm sorry. I know that you've told me not to do it. Please forgive me. That's what needs to happen. And you need to honor your parents. And so now some of you might be in a situation where one of your parents or maybe both of them are not very honorable people. This can be particularly difficult, but it is unfortunately more and more common. Maybe you have a parent that consistently treats you or your other parent poorly. Maybe they don't keep their word, they're selfish. Maybe they're extremely harsh and critical. Maybe they mock your faith, encourage you to sin. Maybe they're mean and angry, they never apologize. It could be any number of things. What do you do then? Do you really have to honor that parent in that sort of a situation? And we've seen this before in going through this section of Ephesians in the Christian family, but it is really important, and it is true for children also. You don't honor your parents primarily because they have earned your honor. It is good when they do, right? When your parents are honorable, they should strive to be honorable. They should strive to be kind, loving, gracious, godly parents. But that is not primarily why you honor them. You honor them because God has commanded you to do it. And because you love him and you want to show your love to him by obeying him. So even if Dad or Mom are having a moment and they do and say something that's not right, you need to then pray quickly, ask the Lord for grace, and respond with honor towards your parents and trust the Lord with that situation. Even if they are dishonorable and wicked, you need to do this because you love Christ and have been saved by his grace and receive this command from God. So, that is the command, and the command is good and helpful all on its own, but in the Lord's infinite wisdom and kindness, he didn't only give us a command, he also gave us promises that go along with it, things that we get to look forward to in the goodness of God. And so our third principle is children see the promise of God. Paul says part of the way through verse 2, this is the first commandment with a promise. So this hammers home just how important this is for children living with their parents, right? You go through the Ten Commandments. This is the first commandment with a promise in God's law. It points out, it shows just how important it is. And so how awesome, though, children, if you honor your parents, even when it's hard, even when you don't want to, even if they don't deserve it, you get to look forward to enjoying God's promises if you do that. And so the first half of the promise is in verse 3. Paul writes, that it may go well with you. That it may go well with you. This phrase of the promise is in the fifth commandment. You can see this in Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. There Moses gives the Ten Commandments again, and he recounts the law to God's people before they enter into the promised land. So it's restated there, and that's where we see this part. Basically, it just means that you're going to prosper. Right? In other words, honor your father and your mother that you may prosper, that you may succeed, that you may flourish or thrive. If you want things to go well in your life, you need to honor mom and dad. The second half of the promise at the end of verse 3 says, and that you may live long in the land. And this promise was originally given to Israel, and it looked forward to when the Lord, again, would bring them into the promised land. But Paul here generalizes the promise so that it applies to all believers in any land. Okay, so there are instances where someone loves and honors their mom and dad, and the Lord might take them home at an early age. The Lord numbers our days. This is a general promise. Okay, but while it is a general promise, it is still one that children should absolutely cling to and look forward to. Right? You should be thinking, I'm going to honor my mom and my dad because God is faithful and he has told me if I do this, I will thrive. I will flourish, I will prosper, and I will lead a long life. And so this is what you need to do. And many children grow up and they don't do this. You know, instead, they despise their parents for one reason or another, and then they grow up and despise them, and they live lives that are hard. And your parents have probably had conversations with you like this, where they point out this particular situation, and they say, listen, this is the deal. Even godly parents who do a very good job can sometimes, not often, but sometimes they have a child that decides that they are going to rebel against everything that they were discipled in, and they want to chase after their sin. And it brings hurt and harm to their life. Proverbs 20, verse 20. If one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. Now, you could have that one printed on the wall somewhere. You know, it's like, as for me in my house, you know, and picked out by the ravens. So the child, though, that honors mom and dad, that resists the temptation to dishonor them, to disobey them, who speaks well of their parents in front of other people, the child that lives in that way doesn't bring shame on their parents. Instead, they show the sort of honor, even to wicked, unbelieving parents. They show wisdom and grace and humility that comes from a love for Christ. A work of the Holy Spirit in their heart that leads to righteous living, and that often works itself out in living a good and long life. And so, you know, think about these promises like you're climbing up the face of a cliff. And you're climbing up there. You have no harness, no rope. You're just free climbing, and you're way up here. These promises are the cracks and the rocks that you cling on to as you climb up to the top. That's how you need to think about them. You need to grab onto them so that you don't fall into sin. When obeying mom and dad is hard, when honoring them, being respectful is tough, you need to hang on to these promises. You know, and so they ask you to do something, you don't want to do it. Pray, ask the Lord for grace and help to be able to do these things. And then, you know, you're thinking in your head, man, my sinful desires really don't want to stack this firewood. I'd really rather sit and play video games. You know? But you think, I'm going to do this. I'm going to honor mom and dad. I'm going to do it happily, even, because I love the Lord, and I want to glorify him, and I want to enjoy his promise of living a happy, long life. You hang on to these promises. So children, see the promise of God. Honor your parents so that it may go well with you, so that you may live long in the land. All right, and so what have we seen? Just to recap quickly, children, you need to obey your parents, and you need to obey them in the Lord. You need to be trusting in the Lord, asking him for grace and help, and then you need to obey the scriptures. You need to have an understanding of what God tells you to do in your obedience to your parents, and you need to honor them from the heart. It isn't good enough to just obey them to get them off your back. You need to actually desire to honor them from your heart. And you need to do that hanging on to these wonderful, precious promises. God promises these things to you to encourage you to look to him with faith in obedience. So may God grant our children faith and repentance and obedience to their parents for his glory. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for our children. Lord, they are blessings, particularly from you. God, you have given to them, or you have given them to us, and we see that they are wonderful gifts. We pray, Lord, that as parents, that we would raise them rightly, God, according to your word, that you would help us to care for them and instruct them in these things. And Lord, we pray for them. We pray that they would grow in their knowledge and love for Christ, that they would grow in their knowledge and love for the scriptures and their desire to be obedient and to bring you glory. Lord, help them to do this when this is hard. Help them to see the goodness of this command just on its own, Lord, but also to see how wonderful the promises are that they get to look forward to and enjoy if they are faithful to do this. Lord, please, God, give us homes that bring you glory in every way, as wives, as husbands, but also as children. We thank you, God, again for them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.